Well, video of Lance Twiggs in court, the furry boyfriend of Tyler Robinson.
And you're not saying that because he didn't shave. You're saying that because of a certain fetish.
Yes. He is a furry. And went by a furry name. This is a guy whose own family told the UK Daily Mail that he is demonic, is demon influenced, and that's why they kicked him out. He says he was kicked out because he was gay. They say he wasn't. It was because he was evil. He's a bad dude. They didn't go into details about why, but he's fallen out of contact with his family, and now he's a key witness. And he says that Tyler Robinson told him not once but three times that he had done it, including putting it in writing. Now, this is where this gets interesting to me. Because this guy has been AWOL. Nobody's been able to find him since the shooting, right? Well, you just string the timeline up here. And he says the first time that Tyler Robinson told him, he claims that he had killed Charlie Kirk, was when he woke up. He was waking up the morning of the 11th, September the 11th. And he said he did it, and he said he didn't, he regretted that he had done it. Okay, here's the problem. The shooting was on September 10th. Lance Twiggs didn't call the police. Remember how frantic everybody was trying to catch this guy? They didn't know if he strike again. Mm-hmm. They didn't know who he was. You know, everybody's kind of going nuts out there. He didn't call the police. And you got to wonder about that, because remember the way that we got him is that he and his father went down to the station. Basically, as his dad was afraid that they would figure out it was him. He figured out it was him, confronted him. He confessed. He took him down there because his dad was in law enforcement. I mean, he took him down to the station and he confessed again. He didn't want them coming around his son up and his son getting killed in the process. That's why he got him to turn himself in. Lance Twiggs never said a thing to law enforcement. I mean, the immediate reaction should have been, I'm going for my phone as soon as I can. I'm going to turn this guy. And he didn't. And I bet you that's why he's testifying. I mean, because this guy theoretically could have been charged as an accessory. You don't turn around and turn this guy in.
Or at least an accessory after the fact. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that's classic. So that's probably why he's so willing to testify. But think about that. You know how big this is. I mean, the Charlie Kirk thing was everywhere, especially as they're looking, for the killer. You knew and you didn't turn him in? Just, wow, not a bad guy, not a good guy. I still have doubts, and I'm sure we'll never know, Lee, but I have doubts about how much this guy knew about this whole thing.
Yeah.
Because he was, if you read the UK Daily Mail's coverage, they went and found a lot of the friends that would come over, to play these weird games they were playing, like board games, and that it was actually Lance Twiggs who was the very radical one about, like, transgenderism and furries and all of his stuff. I just have a hard time believing he didn't know, but, whatever. But we know this. He knew he did it, and he didn't turn him in. And he's not being charged, which means, obviously, the prosecution considers him key to this case. They needed him to testify more than they needed him in prison. So interesting situation. Also, Lee, it's going to be interesting to see if they offer Tyler Robinson a plea deal. They've got great evidence in this case. We've seen more of it. In fact, there's a handwritten note in which he confesses to this. Made his mother gasp in the courtroom when she saw it. It wasn't supposed to actually get out. It wasn't supposed to be presented till the trial, but the video camera that was playing, they mm-hmm. were showing another piece of evidence, accidentally kind of swiped over it, and you can read it. So that would be the fourth time. That's a fourth confession. I mean, they got this guy coming and going.
Yeah.
So normally, if I'm a prosecutor, I'm not playing ball. I'm going, I'm not offering you a plea.
Right. Why? Yeah.
Except.
Oh, okay.
I mean, look, I've just been on X. You should see Candace Owens has done so much damage to this case with her crazy conspiracy theories as the conspiracy theory goes, Charlie Kirk had said no to his Jewish donors, and so Israel had him killed. And, this guy, Tyler Robinson, he's just the patsy. There was actually really someone else there who did it. She's been on this for months. And believe it or not, it's gained traction. And Megyn Kelly hasn't, she does a podcast too now that's very popular. Megyn Kelly has not been as bad as Candace Owens. But what she had, you know, just directly saying, hey, it was Israel, this is a cover up, blah, blah. But what she has done has been, how do I put it? I guess I could play some of it, but it's very long. What she has done is cast doubts on the official story and that Tyler Robinson, you know, maybe didn't have help from a foreign power. Let's put it that way. And Megyn Kelly, after this, because she's a lawyer, she knows, after this latest evidence just came out, she just tried to do a 180 last couple of days. No, this evidence is very convincing. No, absolutely, Tyler Robinson did it. She's obviously walking away and trying to isolate herself from what she's done for months. But Lee, the damage out there from these accounts is so bad. And you know, Candace Owens and Megyn Kelly, I guarantee you these prosecutors are considering, have at least talked over a plea deal where they normally wouldn't. Because again, it's only going to take one juror to be pre-convinced by this stuff. And we don't get a conviction. And if they don't get a conviction the first time, then he's going to have a much stronger position. They'll try him again, or you know, they'll prosecute him again, I should say. He's going to have a much stronger position to demand a better plea deal, all because of Candace Owens. And it's gotten so badly, I don't know if you saw this, that Donald Trump Jr. had to go on Fox News yesterday.
No,
there's no Israel angle here. No, this wasn't, you know, Charlie Kirk wasn't killed because he disobeyed Israel's orders. No, everyone around, you know, Erica Kirk and his organization, they all think that Tyler Robinson did it. Tyler Robinson's dad thinks he did it. That's why he turns him in. Tyler Robinson texted and wrote that he did it. This is not, Israel did not do this. Tyler Robinson isn't confused. Look, now we've got him on video in a sniper's position with the gun on the roof.
Mm-hmm. Multiple times.
Yes.
Both before and after the event.
This should be absolutely rock solid, open and shut case. They should be able to walk in there, try and get the death penalty. No problem. This is one of those cases, you know, max couple hours of deliberation. But Candace Owens has been out there and out there and out there, and Megyn Kelly too. And a couple other people, Tucker Carlson is one of them with the Jew conspiracy. And it's only going to take one juror who's pre-convinced.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, I'm going to go over to the text line right now and somebody will be blasting me for saying this.
Well, of course.
You're just covering up for Israel again. No, Tyler Robinson did it. That's why his dad loaded him in the car and took him in. His lover says he did it. He says he did it. Mm-hmm. We have pictures of him on the roof.
DNA evidence,
yes,
from both of them on the items that were found on the scene.
The bullet etchings and the fact that, you know, he talked to Twiggs about that before. I mean, mm-hmm. It just goes on and on, yeah, and on and on and on. But again, all of this crazy Jew stuff is out there. And it's going to be interesting.
We need a dose of reality in this world, Tara.
Well, I know. And look, this is the downside of free speech on social media.
I think
wouldn't
you're absolutely
stop
right.
It.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But there, you know, because so many good things have come from free speech with no filter online that we weren't able to see. But this is sort of the downside of it. You have these kind of charlatans who...
This is why we pray for discernment.
We do. Now, here, look. The good news is that and that you're seeing from all of this, even with weird conspiracy theories and the things that have been put out there by formerly credible people who use their credibility in this way, the good news is I think the tide is absolutely turning with what? More free speech. This is why Megyn Kelly had to walk it back yesterday after, you know, really looking at what's in court and going, hey, yeah, he did it.
More free speech, despite the efforts of Australia, the UK, and the legislature in Colombia.
So that, look, that's the price of free speech. You get these weird things going around. Takes, you know, what do they say? It takes a lie, like, you know, lie to travel around the world instantly, and it takes a long time for the truth to catch up. Well, the truth does catch up if you give it enough time here. And I think that's kind of what's happening in court right now. Look, folks, you know, I've been happy with J.D. Vance, maybe a little bit on Iran, but he's doing a killer job on fraud. As the frauds are, that really just needs to be what he focuses on, him and Doge. And folks, I've been pointing this out to you. Since I first started tracking this the last week, roughly, of May, every single day on this show, I've brought you another new, fresh, at least 100 billion, no, I'm sorry, at least 100 million, in many cases billion, but at least $100 million fraud story. Every day. Now, there have been maybe a handful of exceptions when that day's fraud story is maybe tens of millions. But for the most part, hundreds of millions to billions every single day. There's a new one in a new part of government. It's truly astonishing. So far, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, I've played you the audio, has said that his estimate is $500 billion stolen a year. $500 billion stolen a year. But lately, I've begun to think it's got to be higher than that, just giving it, racking up. So the fact that I could do this every day is incredible. I haven't missed a single day since the last week of May when I started going, this is every day. Is this going to end? No, it hasn't. We're now at the 10th of July, and we're still going. Here's today's, folks, from J.D. Vance. And again, the story is always the same. The Biden administration loosened fraud controls. We know why they did that. So the illegals could sign up on everything from Medicaid to certain Medicare things that they can get their hands on for welfare because they're not legally supposed to get it. It's illegal under federal law for them to get it. And so they loosened all the controls. They did it with Obamacare to let the illegals on. And folks, we need to have health insurance company, massive fraud investigations and prosecutions because you were supposed to have a social security number to get Obamacare and they just got rid of that. I played that earlier this week, by the way. I used to have 71 fraud investigators. They moved just for Obamacare. They moved all but six away and redirected the six away from looking at fraud. Why? Because they removed the social security number provision. They wanted to get the illegals on. And once the guys who, you know, and the gals, I guess, who signed people up, whose job it is to sell insurance programs, realized I don't even need a social security number. I just need a name. And the federal government will pay out directly to the health company. They just started signing people up. So it was done to help the illegals to defraud the American public. But everybody defrauded the American public. This is J.D. Vance anyway with today's multi-billion dollar example.
Fraud czar J.D. Vance giving an update in Milwaukee on the national fight against fraudsters and the effort to root out Medicaid abuse.
What happens under the Biden administration? All of a sudden, we go from less than $1 billion spent on these skin grafts to $15 billion in 2025. And actually, in 2026, the number was supposed to be $25 billion. But because we cut down on fraudulent payments and fraudulent billing, we saved you $25 billion. That number is now well below $1 billion today.
The Anti-Fraud Task Force says it denied about 96% of those fraudulent claims after noticing a 7,100% spike.
7,100% spike. So what this is a Medicare program. It does skin, like it pays for basically like skin grafts. And there's almost no fraud controls. So somebody figured out, lots of people figured out, hey, you know, I could just file fake ones or overly file real ones. They stole the money. Now, because the Biden administration across the board removed the fraud controls, nobody caught it. But even before that, there were barely any fraud controls. You'll look at this, it overlaps. If you look at the year this starts, it overlaps the last year of the Trump administration when you begin to see it rise. But then as soon as Biden takes office, it goes upward on steroids. Folks, if you work in a business, even just like a mid-sized business, you know there's massive fraud control. How does the government miss a 7,100% rise in expenditures or something? How is there not like an automatic algorithm flag? This is 2026. And the answer is there is, if you want to have one. And this is what you get from unleashing DOGE. Again, supposed to be less than a billion. Under Biden, it skyrockets to $15 billion. And given all the claims that were made this year, almost all of which are fraud, it was supposed to hit $25 billion. But they caught it. Vance caught it. The team caught it. Again, proving these are not hard things to do. They're not. So I often wonder, and Stephen Miller actually said this, would we even be in debt if there wasn't massive fraud? And folks, not even the basic fraud controls that you would expect to have at this time. Like not even the simplest fraud controls. Here's Stephen Miller, and he's, Trump's deputy chief of staff, talking about this.
I believe, based on what I've seen and what I've heard, is that we could balance the federal budget if the only dollars that went out of the Treasury went to individuals who were properly, lawfully, correctly eligible to receive them. And that ultimately is going to be what we have to do as a country. In the meantime, because of the vice president's leadership, you are seeing the most muscular, robust, aggressive, dedicated, determined, and speedy effort to shut down criminal fraud that has not only ever occurred in the history of this country, but in any developed nation.
Yeah, and that's in part because we've never, folks, in human history, there's never been fraud this big. And again, the saddest part, so much of this is printed money or borrowed money on the backs of your kids. So thank God for this. We really need another 4 years. We need it because, folks, you know what they'll do if they come back in? They're going to put the fraud on steroids. It's going to be one massive robbery of the American people. And you know how sheepy the other side is? Can you believe this? I mean, they had these people protesting and blowing up Tesla dealerships because Elon Musk was going after fraud as part of Doge. Money stolen from them, the taxpayer. That's how sheepy they are. It makes you wonder what they would tolerate if the Democrat Party asked them to. All right, we'll be right back. By the way, it is Friday, and you know what that means. Yeah, lines are open for your phone calls. Give me a call on the Common Sense Retirement Planning line, 800-905-0989. Text me on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, same number, 800-905-0989. Folks, have you noticed this? Aside from Trump sucks, ICE sucks, Customs and Border Patrol sucks, Trump's Hitler, the Democrats don't really have an agenda of any kind other than amnesty and getting illegal immigrants to vote them into permanent, never everlasting power, and then completely defrauding the American people by using the federal government is kind of a crime weapon. Sort of like in a robbery, if somebody puts a gun to your head, well, the gun's the IRS. They don't have any ideas. Now, listen, it's always what they're against. They're against billionaires having money. Why? They want to take it. Now, there's never a lot of details either. Well, take how much? And for what? We hate billionaire. I know, but socialism is great. What kind of socialism? Well, you like roads and schools. That's all you need to know. This is the modern Democrat Party, okay? But do they actually know what's good for Americans? Do they actually know what's good for Americans? I see all the talk lines lighting up, by the way. Love to have a call from you. 800-905-0989. Are they just dense? Oh, no. They know what's good for Americans. Headline from Town Hall, Democrats unanimously opposed the working families tax cuts. That's Trump's big, beautiful bill. Now they're trying to take credit for it. Now, you know my position on the big, beautiful bill. I have loved the tax cuts. I've especially loved the tax breaks for businesses that build factories. My main opposition to it was there was just way too much spending in it, so much spending that we would have to maintain the economy at 3%. If we did not do it, inflation would spike. That's how bad the printing and spending was in that bill. And that was my objection. Ralph Norman courageously was able to get some of that cut. One of the things I'm forever grateful to him for is one of the few Republicans who stood up and did it. We just simply couldn't afford to put that on the backs of our kids. And I can't look my kid in the face and say, hey, go ahead, pay that bill. But I love the tax stuff in there. Absolutely did love the tax stuff. At least we got some of it out. Not a lot, but some of it. Still ended up being the largest spending bill ever in U.S. history. But the tax cuts were phenomenal. Now, remember what the Democrats told us about the tax cuts. They were for the rich. Rich were going to get to tax cuts. They were 100% opposed to Trump's big, beautiful bill because of the tax cut for the rich. How many people ended up getting a tax cut? Of those who pay taxes, 97%. 97% of all filers got a tax cut? Wow. 97% of all filers are rich? $82 billion was returned to American taxpayers. 96% of filers got a tax cut who earn less than $200,000. And those earning between $100,000 and $200,000 got an average tax cut of over $1,250. 70% of filers got a tax cut who are 70% of filers who received a tax cut earned less than $100,000. So that's who's rich. The working families tax cut also prevented a $5 trillion tax hike. Folks, across the country, Democrats running for office, like Michigan Representative Christa McDonald Rivett, are now running television ads claiming they voted for the tax cuts in the working families tax credit. Not a one of them did. Senator Ruben Gallego of Arizona just introduced a bill to make the Trump accounts permanent and automatically enroll newborns in the program. And he also introduced a bill to make the no tax on tips provision permanent. He voted against it in the working families tax. But now he's running for office, so he wants to make it look like he was involved with it. Representative Dina Titus, Steve Hosford, Susie Lee, as well as Senators Catherine Cortez Masto and Jackie Rosen, wrote a letter to Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent saying they want to ensure the successful implementation of the no tax on tips provision for their constituents. Folks, Democrats were trying to tax tips. Do you remember what they were doing under Biden? They were going to force a system on restaurants that would track the tips so they could better tax them. And now we know why, folks. They were robbing you blind. They were robbing the taxpayers blind, giving it out to their friends. Kamala Harris was driving out to Maryland with a $7 billion check to present to an organization, by the way, largely run by people from the Obama and Biden administrations. In other words, they were stealing you blind. Folks, they were looking under the seat cushions of people working as waiters and waitresses to find more money to steal. But now they're claiming they supported this the whole time. Mind blowing, folks. Gonna jump on the line with Donna in Anderson on Caitlin Clark and Trump safety. Hey, Donna.
Hey, Tara. Two things. There's a real easy fix to this abuse with the women's basketball. Absolutely boycott. Do not watch them on TV. Don't go to a game. Don't buy anything. If people want to contact the Women's Basketball Association, tell them you're boycotting them. In a heartbeat, in 1 or 2 weeks, they will be defunded completely.
Well, I you know what? I would add one caveat to that, though.
Yes.
Because this is what, and this is why they're beating Caitlin. I mean, literally assaulting her. You'd be arrested for assault if you did to Caitlin Clark what you know is now happening to her. Yeah. During the average game, her jersey is the most popular selling jersey in all of the WNBA. Don't stop buying those jerseys. And by the way, her jersey now sells more than most NBA players jerseys.
You know what, don't you think it's worth just sucking it up? And I mean, we can go without that for all it'll take is a week or two.
Well, yeah, and then, look, there's a lot of other ways you could spend with a WNBA or give them ratings points, but that's the one thing I would put the caveat, I would just say.
Yeah. Hey, listen, the other thing is, this is so major, I don't want us to lose our president. I can't imagine the catastrophic consequences in our country as well as globally. Why is Trump not going to take out those top three IRGC, Dick Alabab, and I want him to let Israel loose, let us loose on him. Why wouldn't he?
I have thought a lot about that, Donna, just trying to think, is there a logical reason for this other than that the country would probably descend into chaos because these guys are tight-fisted totalitarians that are just as happy to kill their own people as they are to kill Trump. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want to have somebody to negotiate with, to actually speak to, because if you kill them and maybe their underlings too, you're going to end up with this mad scramble for power with a different factions killing each other. To me, Donna, normally that's not preferable, but in this case it is to the current leadership.
I don't see how it could be any worse than the thugs that they've got. The country's already in chaos. These are people that will never negotiate with you.
No.
They believe in dying for Allah before they will even lose face with you.
I think, Donna, that J.D. Vance convinced Donald Trump to try the negotiation route I think the reason that Trump listened to him, because he hasn't listened to Vance much on if you notice, it's been Rubio. He's always pushed the French.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know. I think that at the time, Trump was very hesitant to take Kerg Island, which needs to be done, because odds are we are probably going to lose some people doing it, or we're going to lose some people holding it. And he was really afraid of the public backlash to that. And, you know, with the Democrats ganging up and all of that and being really on Iran's side. And I think J.D. Vance came along, said, hey, let's try diplomacy. And Trump said, OK, because he just couldn't seem to pull that final trigger, because we've gotten to the point in America with this mentality of, well, we'll have to surrender to the enemy, even though he might blow up an American city. If even a single, you know, service member dies doing something, and we've got to get rid of that mentality. They signed up. There's no draft. You know, my husband's a Marine. I, you know, child going into military. We've got to get past that mentality as a country. Because it just absolutely cripples us, and the Iranians are taking advantage of it. So I think J.D. Vance came in with a way to stall, and I think Trump took it. And I think Vance may not have meant to, but Vance and the Iranians ran out the clock. And every day that went by, you know, as the world petroleum supplies dwindled that were being released to keep the price of oil down, Iran got more powerful and Trump got less powerful. And now Trump is stuck, Donna. Because those, you know, now that it's a mess.
I'm looking, I mean, I agree with you on all those points. The long-term consequences of Iran and China, they are on a takeover of the world. The long-term consequences are we will be under them if we do not take out Iran and stop China. And Iran supports China and China supports Iran.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more, Donna.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And folks, you know, I keep having these people say, well, we don't care about the Strait. Why do we care about this? We don't move much through the Strait. We don't. It's a tiny percentage of our trade. But again, 20% of the world's trade goes through there. You want to give China control of that? Because I don't. You want to give Iran control of that? Because I don't. And here's the thing. We know what they'll do because they did it during that week that Donald Trump said, hey, I don't care. Iran can take over the Strait. Remember, he took that back. China immediately stepped forward and said, OK, then all cargo ships carrying energy, that energy must be bought or sold in either Chinese dollars or Iranian Bitcoin, or you can't move. Well, folks, it is going to be week two before China and Iran said, hey, everything has to be bought and sold. Not that goes through here. Folks, the only reason that Joe Biden spent what we spent, and he was at 9% inflation, and we're at, I don't know, depending on how you want to count it, high twos to high threes, is because right now we have a record high percentage of world transactions done in the dollar. Under Biden, it sunk down to the high 30s. We're at 52-53% right now. That is why we are not roiled with inflation. You let Iran and China have that strait, we're going to lose 20 percentage points of trade in the dollar. It's a little less than that, I think. Some of it's already not in the dollar. But that is a devastating blow. Can't hand it to them. And Vance's MOU handed it to them after 60 days. It was great to see that ripped up by Trump this week. Folks, when we come back in a second, I'll play this for you. General Kellogg addressing that next. This is a trend that we're seeing among liberal women converting to Islam. Just played that Democrat Socialist of America committee meeting for you. And you've got that. I think it's a woman. Hard to say. Very transgender. I don't know. But it's either a real woman or a man trying to be a woman. Not sure. Wearing a kafaya. This is the thing now, which leads me to this story, and it does not have a happy ending. New York mother moved to Ireland, couldn't stand to be in America anymore, takes her 13-year-old daughter with her, Westchester County native Jamie Carney. Well, while there, she's participating in the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian protest when she meets Ahmad Al-Sakir, 28-year-old. And falls deeply and madly in love with him, so much so she's learning to speak. I'm not sure what his language is, but she's put herself online learning to speak it She's also now recording anti-ICE videos that are too profane to play here, but she hates ICE, and talking about the wonders of loving a Muslim man, which did not work out well for her. They found her brutalized, beaten body, and he's now on the run. He's an asylum seeker, as they call them, in Ireland. Al-Sakir is also believed to have lived in the United Kingdom at some point before entering Ireland, and they believe that he has tried to go back or has run back, has escaped back to his native Turkey. So, did not go well. Folks, and this is just that lack of understanding of what's going on in all of that liberal propaganda on the left. It just makes these women crazy, I'm telling you. I'm his flower, Warda, and he's my moon, Kwamer, she said. Learning Arabic. Irish police have confirmed that the suspect has fled Ireland and may now intend to travel to Jordan or Syria from Turkey. The now dead woman, liberal, is the staunch pro-Palestinian, shared videos of herself and Al-Sakir at the rally, with the pair both wearing the checkered kefaya that is now so popular on the left. Definitely a cautionary tale. Yeah. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll be back on Monday. Mike Gallagher is up next.